Title of my sermon is Trumpets in the Day of the Lord. Trumpets in the Day of the Lord. When I was in the Army 2 years, they used trumpets to wake you up, trumpets to put you to bed, trumpets to call you to assembly. Used trumpets for various things. Sometimes I was the one to play the trumpet. Better to be playing it than to hear it, I guess. Especially early in the morning. But God uses trumpets too to proclaim special things. Like when Moses was up on the mountain and he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, there was a loud sound of a trumpet before that. God's laws. If everybody kept God's laws, think what a world it would be. Think how great it would be. That's not going to happen until Christ returns. And so today, the Feast of Trumpets, we generally think about the return of Jesus Christ. You know, people who don't know the truth know that Jesus was the Christ and realize he's going to return. And look forward to that day. We, God's people, especially look forward to it. Because we know that we're going to have a part in His government on this earth. And that there finally is going to be peace. And there finally will be little towns where people don't steal. Old men talk to little kids. People are happy. Okay? But it's the Feast of Trumpets, plural. There are six trumpets leading up to the seventh trumpet. Seventh trumpet is the return of Christ. There are six trumpets before that. Now, when I was looking it up in Strong's Concordance, the phrase blowing of trumpets can mean one of two things. Different things. Battle cry. Or an acclamation of joy. Well, the first six are battle cries. Maybe the seventh is too, but there's also going to be an acclamation of joy when Christ returns. Before that day arrives, before Christ arrives, the modern descendants of Israel, and that includes some of people in this country, I'd say most of the people probably, will experience a time of great tribulation, 3.5 years, worse than anything that has ever happened to them before. We don't look forward to that. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 12. Daniel's talking about the end time. And he says, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book. So it's good to be found written in the book. Right. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Spent some quite a bit of time in Revelation, but right now just look at chapter 7. Verse 3. Well, And this is another angel cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. You may say, well, that's a lot. Come with there's a lot, millions of people in modern day Israel. In verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Now, who are these people? Who are the 144,000? Verse 14 answers it. Said, I said to him, sir, you know. And he said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. Out of the great tribulation. Washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there's coming a great tribulation. Coming upon the earth. Now we think of these days when we read the news. We think how terrible it is in this country. And it is, morally, for sure. And we're headed in the wrong direction. And if we don't turn around, and we probably won't, we'll end up in really deep trouble. Most of the nation will die. Okay? But, verse 14, it says, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 144,000 of the children of Israel. How many do you think there are today? Descendants of the children of Israel. I don't know, but I would imagine it would be in the millions. But 144,000 will be saved. And then this innumerable multitude out of the rest of the Gentiles. And they will be saved as well. So we can be grateful for that, but it doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? Now, let's go to Ezekiel 5. Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 5. Ezekiel 5, starting in verse 1. Prophecy about Israel. So he was given these instructions. And he said, you son of man, take a sharp sword, take it as a barber's razor, pass it over your head, beard, and take scales to weigh and divide the hair, and burn with fire one third in the midst of the city. Take one third and strike around it with a sword. One third scatter in the wind, I'll draw a sword after them. Then take a small number, bind them in the edge of your garment. Now, what's he talking about? Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. Israel in the end times. Modern Israel, not just the people in the Middle East. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, against my statutes more than the countries, so forth and so on. Verse 9. Because of all that, I will do among you what I've never done, the like of which I'll never do again, because of your abominations. That's the great tribulation he's talking about. So it's coming. Third of Israel die of famine. Third will die in war. Third taken into captivity. Possibly not much more than 10% surviving. It's not good, is it? Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 7. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. I say, I've got a note here for the end time. But they did not prevail, nor was a place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, is cast to the earth, and the angels are cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time left. Okay. Satan is our enemy. He is, God calls him the adversary. The adversary. He is. He's our enemy. And he wants to destroy us if he can. Especially God's people. That's what they're calling right now. Okay. Now. Let's go to Revelation 11. God is our friend and Satan is our enemy. Revelation 11. 11 verse 3. I'll start in verse 3. Talking about in verse 2, treading the holy city underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. That number shows up a lot for end time prophecy. 3.5 years of great tribulation. 3.5 years of holy city is going to be trod underfoot. Verse 3, and I'll give power to my two witnesses. I don't know who they are. And they'll prophesy 1,260 days. There again, 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. But they're going to have spatial protection. Verse 5, if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Okay? So they're going to be witnesses of God in the end times. Two witnesses. Now, what will have happened to the church? Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Verse 17. Remember, Satan's cast to the earth. He's full of anger. Verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who's that? Us. Okay. Let's look in verse 13. 12 verse 13. When the woman, the dragon, saw that he had been cast to the earth, it persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, and the woman was given two wings of an eagle. She might fly into the wilderness from the place where she's nourished for a time, times, and half a time. So, place of safety for 3.5 years for God's church, right? Verse 17, the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to war to make the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, some people God will take to a place of safety, and others he will allow Satan to work on them. Warning for us, I guess, we need to be close to God. Okay. Now, let's go to Joel, the book of Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Joel. Joel chapter 2. One of the so-called minor prophets. He's not minor according to me. My name's not in the book. His is, you know, Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, like the like of whom has never been, nor will there be, ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Fire devours before them. Land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Sounds bad, doesn't it? End time problems. End time problems. We'll talk about the six trumpets in just a minute. In Isaiah, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but Isaiah 34:8 says, talks about the day of the Lord's vengeance. It's a year. It's called the day of the Lord, but it's actually a year long. Many people have prayed through the years, especially God's people, but many people too, for God's kingdom to come to this earth. Finally, those prayers are about to be answered. So, let's go to the book of Revelation in chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, we'll talk about those six trumpets. Six trumpets. Revelation 8. I'm starting in verse, might as well start in verse 1, give an introduction to it. When he opened the seventh seal, he's talking about the Lamb opening the seals. The seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now remember what I said before about God using the trumpets for special occasions. Special occasions. Like when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. But these are special occasions for the end times. Verse 7. First angel sounded. This is not going to be good. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. They were thrown to the earth. The third of the trees were burned up. All green grass was burned up. I'll stop and think about that for just a little while. Lightning with hail, similar to the seventh plague on Egypt. Fire mingled with hail. One tree produces oxygen for 10 people. I found that fact. So if a third of the trees are burned up, then a third of the oxygen is burned up. We breathe, right? That could cause some problems for a number of people, I would think. What about feed for the animals? And we have a lot of cattle. Cattle graze on pastures, don't they? But they're all burned up. What about the stacks of hay that people have out there in their pastures? Farmers do that, you know. Stack them out there in the pastures. Well, if the pastures are burned up, chances are that stacks of hay are going to be burned up too. So where are they going to feed the cattle? I don't know. Loss of human life. Great loss of human life and animal life. Sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? But that's just the first trumpet. Verse 8 now. Revelation 8. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. Well, those ships carry a lot of important things, don't they? Transport oil, petroleum, transport food, medical supplies. What about a third of the fish and the creatures in the sea that die? What kind of a stench? I'll leave that. What are the people who count on fishing for a living? What do? When something like that happens. When you go down to the grocery store, frozen food department, you have a short supply of frozen fish, don't you? That's gone in a hurry. That's just the second angel. Second. Okay. Verse 10. The third angel sounded. And the great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Now, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. Many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So, I grew up on a farm. We had our own well. What if it happened to be one of those that was hit? What would we do for water? Where would we go? We'd have to find out where a spring is. Test it and see if it was fit to drink. What about people who live in cities? Their water supply. We live in not too far from here, North Little Rock. We get our water from the city. Hope they have a good supply. What would happen if it was suddenly polluted and nobody could drink it? Well, you'd run down to the store, fill up on, everybody would get the water out of the store, right? And after a day, that would all be gone. Then what are you going to do for the next day, and the next day after that, and the next day after that? A lot of people are going to die because they didn't have access to good water. That's just the third trumpet. Getting ready for the fourth trumpet to sound. Verse 12. Fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying, with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the remaining blast of the trumpet, it's going to be worse. Well, it's dark. A lot of people have jobs that require daylight. Hmm? Remember when there was a plague on Egypt? God put a plague on Egypt. I remember a few years ago when St. Helens volcano erupted in Washington. Yeah, it was kind of rough. Ash clogged up some of the filters in automobiles, damaged the engines. It was difficult to work and play for a while. But this is going to be over a third of the earth. It's going to be bad. Now let's go to the fifth trumpet. Chapter 9, verse 1. Revelation 9, verse 1. Fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Out of the smoke, locusts came on the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Or any tree. But only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So for anybody who God has not chosen, given the Holy Spirit to, it's going to be rough. Rough. Say, we're not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. 5 months. Not 5 hours or 5 days, but 5 months. The torment was like a torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. Sure, I imagine so. Okay. Now, getting ready for the sixth angel. And this is scary. It's already been pretty scary, and this is really bad. The sixth angel sounded, verse 13, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel with the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river of Euphrates. Why is that? That's so the kings of the east, with all of their huge armies, can come over dry on dry land. So the four angels who had been prepared for the day and the hour and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Third of mankind. The number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. Can you imagine an army of 200 million? I was looking up some statistics about how large the armies are that we have today. China has the largest, about 3 to 4 million people. And Russia has 1.5 million. India has 1.5 million. North Korea has 1 million. But altogether, you know, that's only about 8 million. What's this 200 million man army? I don't know. I don't know if it's a spiritual army or if it's just a last-ditch effort by mankind to kill this unwanted visitor from outer space that's coming. I don't know. But it's pretty amazing. It says in verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of the mouth. Third of mankind. What do we have? About 8 billion people on this earth. A third of that is almost 3 billion people. Can you imagine? What would you do with all the bodies? It's a public health problem, I would think, wouldn't you? Now, here's an astounding, to me, one of the most astounding things that I've read in the Bible. Down in verse 20, Revelation 9, verse 20. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, and did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and wood, which neither see or hear or talk. And they did not repent of their murders or sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. After all that, talk about hard-headed people. I thought I was hard-headed, but that's really amazing, isn't it? After all that, the six trumpets, mankind still refuses to repent. What's left? Seventh trumpet. When it looks like mankind won't change, no matter what awful things happen, won't turn to God and repent. When it looks like there's no hope for mankind, Jesus Christ will come back. Now, when he was here before, came as a little baby, didn't he? And he let people taunt him and spit on him, beat him. Then he was almost unrecognizable. Nail him to a pole and kill him. And he did that so that we could have our sins forgiven. Paid the penalty. But when he comes back this next time, he's not going to come back like that. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as God Almighty, the most powerful force on the face of the earth, which makes all the rest of the armies of the world seem like nothing. So we look forward to that day. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." I used to listen to that Hallelujah chorus by Handel. It's part of the Messiah he wrote. And he shall live, reign forever and ever. Boy, that's good news. That's the best news you're going to hear from me today. Man. Now, let's go to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Go back just a little ways. Talking about the sixth angel. Sixth angel poured out his bowl in the river Euphrates, as water was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits come in like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon is Satan. The beast is somebody we don't know yet, and the false prophet either. They're spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So they're going to gather someplace in the Middle East. place called Armageddon. Now there is a little place in modern day Israel, about 35 miles north of Jerusalem, called Megiddo. That's what it refers to. It's a plain. Good place for armies to gather. They're going to gather there. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had his name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with him he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 16, he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19. I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, their families gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now that doesn't mean they stayed there and were tortured forever and ever. They were cast alive in that lake of fire burning with brimstone, but they didn't last very long after that. That's what's going to happen in the future with them. In verse 21, the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him and sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Chapter 20. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. After these things, he must be released for a little while. I'm not going to talk about that today. But when Christ rules this earth for 1,000 years, there's not going to be any Satan around. No adversary. No adversary. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. What about us? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. Now this I say, brethren, starting in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Excuse me. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that's not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So when that last trumpet sounds, the seventh trumpet, trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If we are living at that time, we're going to be changed into spirit beings. Immortal spirit beings. Verse 54, so when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 57, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No, it is not. We're here on this day, Feast of Trumpets, gathered as God commands us given an offering. I'm sure it was generous. We're here to rehearse what's going to happen. Read about it. Listen to it. Take it into our minds. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. But when he does, he's not going to be received very well. In building up to the time when he returns, he's going to have to return to keep mankind from killing himself off the face of the earth. Without God, we're nothing. Really not. Under the influence of Satan, for sure. But Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to put down the armies gathered together to fight him. He's going to take hold of Satan and put him away for 1,000 years. Imprison him. So we look forward to that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. Can you imagine how it's going to be like? 1,000 years of no Satan. 1,000 years of Jesus Christ personally ruling this earth. We look forward to that day. Day that's pictured by this day, the Feast of Trumpets. Wish you a happy Sabbath. Good Day of Atonement. I'll be up in, I think, Memphis. David will be here. We'll both be dry. We look forward to Feast of Tabernacles. I hope all of you can have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. And I hope to see you after the feast.